This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. Right now, we are joined live by phone with Boise Mayor Lauren McClain. It has been 3 months since she took office. Faced with issues of explosive growth, affordability, housing, and so much more, she now also has a global pandemic to worry about. And that's where we're going to start our conversation today. Later on in the program, we will ask her more about how she's thinking about the other issues facing Boise. Mayor McClain, welcome back to Idaho Matters.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks so much for having me.
So we need to start the conversation by talking with you about what seems to be on everyone's mind, and that is coronavirus. Tuesday, Boise City Council voted to enact the Emergency Powers Act. Could you explain what this means for the city exactly?
Sure. Happy to do that. On Tuesday, when the council enacted that Emergency Powers Act, what it enables me to do in conversation and consultation with the council is to start to take action to protect our public health. And so many people have asked me in the last few weeks to look at canceling events, to closing facilities, et cetera. I couldn't do that without those emergency powers that came into effect yesterday.
So talk about some of the mandates that you've now been able to put in place, in particular, evictions on city-owned properties, utility bills, those types of things.
Sure. And those were made possible, or we memorialized those things that I'll bring up by resolution on Tuesday night. Some of the steps that I can take, and we did as a mayor and council take on Tuesday, was to memorialize that for city-owned property, the low-income properties that we hold, we will not be evicting our residents. We're doing rent forgiveness in April. We citywide collect money for sewer from all of our residents, and we will not disconnect sewer for lack of ability to pay as we move through this crisis. The resolution, this is all separate from the emergency powers ordinance, but the resolution also memorialized that we are developing pandemic leave policies and work from home policies for our own employees so that when and if we have to tell them that they need not to work due to the pandemic, we have a special leave pool. And we are moving this week to having the majority of our essential personnel working from home, and wanted to memorialize that as well. And on the sewer disconnection pledge, I am really grateful to Idaho Power, to Suez Water, to Sparklight, all utilities that have agreed alongside us not to disconnect services for lack of ability to pay as we move through this pandemic.
So I want to get back to this Emergency Powers Act that was voted on and put in place on Tuesday. How do you see yourself being able to use those emergency powers? And we should note that City Council Member Holly Woodings said that the last time this was enacted and enforced was almost 100 years ago. So this is not something that happens, you know, every few years to enact something like this.
No. This is an ability that the mayor has and is granted through code if and when the council enacts the code, which is what they did Tuesday. I mean, I will say that we will have some statements later on towards the end of the day with regard to some orders that we'll be making as a city under the use of those emergency powers. And just a fun fact, because everybody expects that the ordinance was last used 100 years ago for the Spanish flu, the pandemic in 1918, but it was actually used by a mayor to quarantine sheep. So this will be the first time that the city has had to use the ordinance to protect public health and safety in looking at, you know, social distancing and the definitions that we included in that ordinance that are new to all of us around the country and around the globe.
It's good to have a little fun fact now and again, especially in this time. Yeah, you know, the situation, as we know, it's rapidly evolving. I mean, new cases coming up every day, you know, even here in our state. But as we've seen in Italy and even in other areas of the United States, proactive measures have been the most effective in flattening that curve. So given that, what is your plan for containing this outbreak in the city limits of Boise?
Sure. And I should say, too, that, you know, there are two choices ahead of us. I was just on the phone with a public health professional from Johns Hopkins who said cities, I was on the phone and in a classroom with 80 mayors, cities and other elected officials in this moment can choose to go the way of truly taking action to slow the curve and to protect our community, or as we saw have happened with no net new cases in, say, China and South Korea. Or we could, you know, wait, hope something is different here, and then we see the curve spike and our hospitals, et cetera, are crowded. So I see this as a time that all local governments, the county, the state, should be taking seriously the need to address how people, you know, from a habit perspective, go out to eat or take out, how we exercise, mm-hmm. what we expect of our kids. There are so many different things that we have to do to change behavior if we want to slow the spread of the disease. And I should note, too, that, you know, we haven't seen evidence of community spread, but as soon as hospitals in this region and medical professionals and health districts are able to test more, it's likely that we'll see what other communities have seen. So we know that there are actions that can help, and those include asking and requiring that restaurants move to takeout and delivery only.
Okay, I want to talk about that, Mayor. I'm sorry to interrupt. I tell you, this is all new for us. So since I can't see you face to face, it's a little bit more difficult. But as you just mentioned, with having certain businesses or restaurants move to takeout, I mean, every day we've seen that more and more cities are announcing mandatory closures for restaurants, and you have that authority now. And other cities in red states, I mean, Bozeman, Montana, for example, they've completely shut down restaurants, in fact, in that entire county. And they've moved it to where people can still do takeout and curbside and delivery, because so those businesses can, you know, hopefully stay in business. Well, you haven't done that yet. Will you take those actions?
I will be taking those actions, as I'd like to remind you that my ability to do that came to be yesterday.
Right.
I've spent quite a bit of time on the phone with health professionals, restaurateurs, advocates, business people, and hospitals yesterday and today, and our legal team that's working on an order that, as I said, I believe it's 2:30 or 3 this afternoon, and we'll be releasing.
You know, and with that being said, I mean, so you would now have that power to do that. The one thing that you don't have power to do, because this is from the state, is to make sure that financially that these hourly workers are covered. Is this something that you are lobbying the governor to do, the legislature? I mean, how is that all working?
Sure, that's a great question. And, you know, so you point out, too, what we have here, which is fundamentally a need to balance both how we as a community react to and contain this virus, but also how we look to the next step, which is recovery and resilience. And my office is working on a list of policies that I believe regionally, as leaders, we need to commit to lobby fiercely on behalf of our businesses, our families who are hit by this, our restaurateurs, everyone else, to come up with both state and federal solutions to, as you mentioned, payroll, taxes, and those business issues that I as a city cannot handle directly. But my office has been in contact with the governor's office. I know Councilwoman Holly Woodings has been in contact with the governor's office, beginning that conversation. And tomorrow we will be hosting a call with business leaders to hear from them the things that they believe that they need, so that we as a city can work hard to make sure that recovery begins and that we receive the funding from both the state and federal governments that we'll need to address some of these things. And I also want to say another important topic that has to be addressed at the state level, cannot be addressed city by city or county by county, is landlord-tenant law. And so many people are asking if we could do a moratorium on evictions, as cities around this country have done. That's something that has to be addressed by the governor's office or the legislature. It cannot be done city by city here in Idaho.
Well, and you've done your part in saying, you know, if it's a city-owned building, I mean, that's all the power that you have. What
right.
limitations, if any, have you encountered from health officials in our state, or frankly, other just state officials? Have you run into any roadblocks?
Well, I would say that the limitations that we have right now are that all of us are encountering something very new. A pandemic is unlike any kind of tactical disaster or tactical community need that governments are designed to address rapidly by organizing people who then take actions. And instead, we can't necessarily see it. We're not sure how it's spreading. And as somebody said to me today, it's 2 weeks ahead of us. And so it's important to us to recognize that in many ways, taking more action is likely better. At the end of this, I'd prefer people say that I went too far rather than that I didn't go far enough. And those are the roadblocks that many of us at all levels of government are dealing with right now, just because this is so new and it's unseen.
You know, speaking of that, like whether you've done enough or not enough, Governor Brad Little and frankly, the state of Idaho has been criticized for its response or frankly, lack thereof to COVID-19. Do you think that the state response has been lacking?
I believe that each level of government, particularly those that can address problems across the board and quickly and rapidly, need to be taking action. I will be doing all that I can, and I would ask that the state do the same.
And we know that Boise City Council President Elaine Clay came into contact with two individuals who tested positive for COVID-19 just last week when she was at a conference. Does this make the fear of the virus any more or real or personal for folks at City Hall, and including you?
You know what? I think that perhaps because I'm so busy taking actions, I don't find myself fearful. that's one of the benefits of the position that I'm in right now. You know, I believe that the virus is throughout the community, and we just haven't detected it yet. It's so important that we not panic, that we respect the impact that this virus will have on the health of many in our community, including the most vulnerable, but take actions that we know that can have the impact that we need rather than letting fear or panic drive us.
What is your best word of advice for Boiseans who are looking to you, frankly, for guidance on this?
Oh, boy. I don't know if it's one word. I would say, first off, as a mom, I'm arguing every evening with my son about what he can and can't do, and he is a master debater. And I know that many families are likely doing the same thing, and it is so important that we as individuals stand our ground, keep our kids at home or away from groups of people, take actions as individuals, but then recognize that at some point, cities, counties, health districts, states, and our government need to take action as well to protect each of us. I'd like to say that, you know, these are tough decisions we're making. I don't take the impact of them lightly, but recognize that we need to act sooner than later, because everything that we've seen and learned in the last 2 months, 3 months, gives us the opportunity and thus the responsibility to learn from that and act accordingly.
Very quickly, before we go to a break and talk about other things that you've been dealing with since you've taken office.
Wait, there are other things?
I know, right? Yeah, right? Right? You've had to put all that on the back burner. So I just want to clarify, though, that you said around 2:30 or 3 o'clock today, you'll be making some announcements. Can you tell us before then if that will include restaurants having to go to being closed and just, you know, taking the dine-in part out of it, or bars closing
down? We're
working
on it, right?
Any clarification?
No, I'd just say that we're working on it right now in terms of what will be included today versus tomorrow or the next day. So as soon as I have that completed, we will be talking with the public about it.
Mayor, we've only got about 5 minutes left, and so I kind of want to do just a quick rapid fire of some questions here. So a lot of your campaign centered around how you'd address growth and congestion, livability, and housing affordability, and you called for bolder, more urgent solutions. 3 months later, what have you been able to do to address these issues and other challenges?
Sure. So in my first week in office, in addition to bolder solutions on housing and transit, I talked often about the importance of transparency and accessibility. And in my first week of office, I was able to release some ethics reforms, as well as, you know, and have lived by My pledge is to have town halls, although currently they're off the calendar, being accessible to the media and talking regularly with the public, including office hours, which I've loved doing. It's been incredible. On housing, we 2 weeks before the impact of this pandemic started to hit, I convened housing staff here, and we made a list of quick actions, medium-term actions, and actions that I'd like to see completed by the end of my first term. And they had set to work on the land trusts that I had talked often about, looking at how we negotiate more assertively for, by providing incentives to, those who would and should create affordable housing options in every development proposal we see. So I've done quite a bit of that, have had quite a few meetings with regional leaders, both individually and as larger groups, on transportation. And we began the process of developing an economic development plan for our city. I'm working with the economic development team here, and then quite a few tech and other business leaders that I've sat down with to discuss, you know, what's next for Boise.
You know, during your campaign, you did come out against the new library project. What is your stance on that now?
Oh, I should say that too. I spent a day talking with all the various stakeholders related to the prior library project, reiterated to them and with them my commitment, as I said during the campaign, to a downtown library that is worthy of our community. And I believe it's possible to have one that's celebrated by this community if we do the process right. And I committed to the funders, the library trustees, the friends, all the different entities that had been involved with that, to work with them to lead that process moving forward.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, there were some personnel issues that you had to deal with former Boise Fire Chief Dennis Stone. You originally put him on administrative leave, then he resigned after trading barbs for a week. What did you learn from dealing with that incident?
Well, with any leader of an organization, you have to deal with personnel issues. And I truly appreciate the new fire chief, the interim fire chief we have, Romeo Gervais, and the good work that he's doing that's noted and valued by so many partners in this community with regard to the crisis we're in. He's a true partner that I have working side by side with me.
You know, we do understand this is a personnel issue, but what can you tell Boiseans about what happened with that incident?
I appreciate the chief's service, and you know, this was a personnel decision that was made. And we have been working so hard as a city since then to tackle the issues of the day.
You know, there are many hurdles to have to get through, especially in a first term. What do you think has been the biggest one for you 3 months into this?
You know, the biggest one is what we're dealing with now. As the discussion that I was in prior to this with other mayors, we heard mayors have never experienced anything like this in the lifetimes that we've had. And it is an incredible responsibility that I have to not only lead our city forward with the initiatives and around the values of creating a city for everyone that were so clear from the electorate that's important, while balancing the very new world and expectations that we have to keep our community safe. And the staff here, the team that exists to lead this city, is amazing. They work nonstop, and they have everyone's best interests at heart, and it's an honor to work with them.
And I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day, Mayor. You are on a busy schedule right now. We've been talking with Boise Mayor Lauren McLean. Thank you so much. We are keeping you updated on this issue on our website. Go to boisestatepublicradio.org for our updated blog on coronavirus. Member support is what makes local COVID-19 reporting possible. Support this coverage by going to boisestatepublicradio.org and clicking the support tab at the top. Thank you all so much for joining us as we go through this experiment of hosting remotely and making sure that we bring you the latest news and information. Huge thank you to our producers, Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright, and our production assistant, Molly Wampler and Gemma Gaudette. We will be back here tomorrow.